Bruchim Haboyim Rabbi Yisai to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Bahar. The Shir is Lezecher Nishmas, Uleili Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezus Hashem from the Chizuk of the Shir, and hopefully the inspiration that we could spread further, may it be for Rebecca Bas Serina, Leon Ben Rachel, Lezecher Uleili Nishmas, and for the Neshamas Tahiris to have a lichtig, a lichtig an Eden. Tonight, actually, even though every Parsha Shir we hope is special and wonderful to be able to come together, but tonight you could say is unusually special in the sense tonight, the night we're giving the Shir is Pesach Sheni, where Mama is holding by the extraordinary day of Pesach Sheni. Additionally, we're approaching Parshas Bahar, and Matzah Shabbos Sunday, Lag BaOmer. Imagine being able to give one shir, not only Parshas HaShavua Bahar, Pesach Sheni. I realize by the time some people hear this, they will have already experienced Pesach Sheni. And then Be'ezus Hashem HaBoleinu L'Teva Matzah Shabbos on Sunday, Lag BaOmer. So I thought maybe we'll speak a little bit about the three and try to tie together one theme about Bahar, Pesach Sheni, and Lag BaOmer. We'll do it in the order as they appear, since, as I said a moment ago, tonight is already Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is found, if you take a look, in Parshas Baloischa. If a person wants to see the psukim inside, take a look. Baloischa Perek Tes. The first number of psukim. Pesach Sheni was for those people who, for one of two reasons primarily, did not have an opportunity to be in the Korban Pesach on the first month, on Yud Dalet of Nisan, they were given a second chance. Although it's not the Mahalach that we're going to take right now with Pesach Sheni, because I want to bring out another point, but it's very powerful to realize that the whole idea of Pesach Sheni is someone being given a second chance. Someone being given an opportunity when they weren't able to do something the first time. And the Pasuk says, why weren't they able to bring it? Vayihi Anoshim. Zok the Pasuk in Vav, Timeim Lenefesh. Either they were Tomei Lenefesh, that means that they were Tomei, they weren't pure, or the Pasuk tells us that they were Bederech Rechaika. Bederech Rechaika means that because of a distance, as I'll say, it's approximately 10 miles away, 11 miles away. If you take a look, that's found in Pasuk Yud, Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Ish, ish, ki yet tomei la nefesh, evederech rechoika. If for either of those two reasons they weren't able to bring it, they were given the second chance known as the Karban of Pesach Sheni. I remember years ago hearing an explanation that these two reasons that a person wasn't able to bring the original one on the 14th of Nisan is either they were tomei la nefesh or they were evederech rechoika. Although I just explained it to you literally what it means, but it could also mean in a spiritual sense. Sometimes a person finds themselves in a situation where they are tomei lanefesh. Besides, we're talking about a physical impurity. Spiritually, they aren't pure. Spiritually, perhaps they're not holding where they should be. Or the next comment we make is they find themselves b'derech rechaika. B'derech rechaika could mean they're on a path that's rechaik, far from the ways of the Dalet Amos of Torah. Sometimes a person might find themselves in a situation, people might find themselves tomei lanefesh in a spiritual sense, b'derech rechaika in a spiritual sense. They're given this second chance, this opportunity. And note, by the way, that what they do on Pesach Sheni is they bring a carbon. And, of course, etymologically, the root of the word carbon is karev, to get close. You have an opportunity to get close, and in some ways even closer, because you're someone who went through a difficult time, tomei lanefesh b'derech rechaika, and yet carbon from the word karev, to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to focus on what they say to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lama Nigara. Lama Nigara is, of course, a very similar expression to we find one other place in the Torah by the B'nai Tzolofchad. The daughters of Tzolofchad who wanted to know why they shouldn't be able to get land as well. they used a similar expression to Lama Nigara. Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? Lama Nigara, why should we be diminished and not be able to have the opportunity to bring a Karban Pesach, although we couldn't bring one the first time? Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Imdu ve'eshma ma'yitzava Hashem lochem, let me stand and hear what Hashem will command you. There are a number of Svarim who explain these words that I just told you in an extraordinary way. When Moshe Rabbeinu says that I want to stand and hear what Hashem says, many Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, and you have to hear me clearly, it's such a powerful, powerful statement to make. Until this point in time, these halachos had not yet been created. Although we know everything was already created by Sheish Yisrei Bereishis, by Bria Asylum, these halachos, this concept, this opportunity of Pesach Sheni, did not exist. These halachos and laws did not exist. And now, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me stand and hear what Hashem has to say, and the next pasuk says, this is what you should tell B'nai Yisrael, someone who is Tamei LeNefesh or B'derech HaChayke, they're being given a second chance and they could Karav get close, and perhaps, as I said a moment ago, even closer. Now, these halachos were being created. Now, these new halachos began to exist and were now established. Now, you might ask me a comment, a question. That's astonishing. Something new is mamish being created now. And as astonishing as it is, the real question is, how? What was so powerful that created that Hashem said, they want it, so I'm going to go ahead and make these new halachos now, Pesach Sheni? And the answer lies in the two words that we said a few moments ago. You must understand the depth and profundity of those two words. This group of people, especially if you learn the way we said, it's not only that in a physical sense they were contaminated or they were 10 miles away and they couldn't get back home quick enough. They were tomei lenefesh, they were spiritually impure, they were bederech rechaika, they went unfortunately on a path that was not the path that they should be on. When they called out Lama Nigara, Lama Nigara was not merely a question, why should we be diminished or why should we be different? Lama Nigara was the purest call of all. Lama Nigara is like we said from my father's Atzal, Shir HaMalos Mimamakim. My father would explain it in the following fashion, Shir HaMalos. Which Shir is it that ascends the highest? Mimamakim. Mimamakim, when it comes from the depths. When it comes from the purity of the neshama, that can break all barriers, that can transcend space, and that could go to the highest part. Lama Nigara Meir, so you have to leave tonight here understanding it is not merely, why should we be diminished? We go fight it, we should lose out. Lama Nigara is not a person speaking. Lama Nigara is a heart and a soul crying. The Kotzker Rebbe says, Ein davar shalem kelev nishbar. There's nothing as whole as a broken heart. Lama Nigara is a cry, mimamakim. Lama Nigara is a painful request from a broken heart. Lama Nigara is the purest and deepest and most profound calling that one can accomplish. And when one truly calls out with a broken heart, when one calls out mimamakim, Lama Nigara, it's such an exalted level, it creates new halachos. Now that's a pshat. In fact, some of the Svarim Halakhah Balibu brings it down. We know that there were mayim elyonim and mayim tachtayim. Now that's sort of the way the world was created. Originally the water was in one place, and then there was the creation of the mayim tachtayim. Now it's interesting to note that when we say in the morning Pesukei Dezimra, after Asher, we have five Halalukas, in the third one, we speak about Halalu, which Mayim, Asher Me'al Hashamayim, the upper waters. The lower waters don't sing Psukei Dezimra. The lower waters don't sing praises to Hashem. Where are they? All we seem to mention in the third of the five halukas is the waters me'al Shemayim. What about the lower? Chazal tell us when the lower waters were separated, they called out a similar calling of those two words. Lama nigara. We were up in Shemayim, and now we're down. Lama nigara. According to Chazal, the actual comment that the lower waters made, Anan ba'inon lenevi kodemalka. Anan ba'inon lenevi kodemalka. We want to be in Shemayim. We want to be by the Kisya Kovod. We want to be with the Mayim Hel Yainim. Their call was one of Loma Nigara. And that call was such a profound and deep call. While it's true that, of course, Psukei Dezimra has the power of the words that we say, but there's something that's considered even higher. Once the words come out into the world, it comes out into the physical world. But there's also the Dvarim Shebelev, the words that are emanate in the heart and still have the purity of the heart before they enter into this world. It's similar to the concept that at the end of Yishtamach we say, HaBoicher B'Shirei Zimra. Shirei Zimra means the song. Shirei Zimra, it also could be understood as Shiyorei Zimra, like from the word Shirayim, that which is left over. Because beyond that which already came out into the physicality of the materialistic world, there's that which still remains within the purity of the soul and the depths of the neshama. The upper waters sing Shirei Zimra. The upper waters have the comment within the physical world. But the lower waters could be even higher. Because when lower waters call out, Mimamakim, when lower waters call out, Loma Nigara, when lower waters call out, with a lev nishbar, anan ve'ina lemevi kodamalka, those words are so powerful, they go from the inside straight to Shemayim. They don't even enter the physicality and the materialism of this world. As high as that is, but the pnimius is even more exalted. As high as the physicality is, but the pnimius, the shiyare zimra, that which remains in the heart, the dvarm shebelev, the calling of the lower waters, that's even more exalted. Such is the power of the call, Anan bu'ina lemevi kadamalka. That's the power of Loma Nigara. And the truth is that very beautifully now leads us, we'll do in order, as we said when we started this year, from Pesach Sheni to Bahar to Lag BaOmer, you will see this concept again and again. In Parshas Bahar, you don't have to look very far at all. The entire beginning of Parshas Bahar, this week's Parsha, speaks about Shnas Shmita and Shnas Yovel. And of course, when a person speaks about Shmita, the first concept that comes to a person's mind is the Emuna and the Bitochin that we are having in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person is properly being told you're going to work the field in year 6, but not in year 7. You'll see that will provide you for year number 6 and year 7 and year number 8. It's almost as if one can say these years are the time that a person calls out Lama Nigar in the sense that it is our professing on such a deep level. A person is being told that their parnasa is being challenged. A person is being told you cannot work the field, and you'll see that you're going to have a little amount in quality is going to go ahead, and quantity, I should say, and provide you an extraordinary amount. It's the ability to show emunam bitochein on a very, very profound level. We've mentioned in the past that Klal Yisrael is compared to a fish. Many reasons are given. Fish in the terms of pru or vu, having the ability to multiply. Fish in the terms that ayin hara is not shaylit over them. But another explanation we gave why Klal Yisrael is compared to fish, Rav Druk brings it down in his Svarim. If a person would take a look, when a large fish is cut open, very often the small fish that it just swallowed has the head of the small fish in the back of the large fish. Now that doesn't seem to make any sense, because if the large fish is chasing and pursuing its next meal in the water, a smaller fish, then as soon as it catches up with that fish, what's going to happen? When it swallows the fish, the tail of the small fish will be in the back of the large fish, because after all, chasing it, it just caught it. Yet it seems to be that it's in the opposite direction when it's inside the stomach of the large fish. How does that happen? Very often it occurs because when that large fish is chasing what it presumes to be its next meal, out of nowhere, absolutely out of nowhere, from the opposite direction, a small fish comes and right away swoops and goes into the mouth of the larger fish. The larger fish now got its next meal out of nowhere from the opposite direction. And that's why when you open up the large fish, very often you'll find that the head of the smaller fish is in the back of the larger fish. That's the lesson of Emunah. A person is chasing and going, this is where my parnas is coming from. This is where my parnas is coming from. This is my next meal. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of absolutely nowhere, comes the deal that the person needed, the hashkacha pratis that the person needed, something that was so unexpected or so unanticipated, just like that large fish is so sure that the next meal and the parnas is coming from that fish. And in the opposite direction, when least expected, something comes out of nowhere, literally, and all of a sudden, that's the next meal of the larger fish. That's why Klal Yisrael is compared to Dugim. Dugim is the very representation of having emunah and bitachon. It's showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maminim b'nei maminim, which is what gives the person the kayach to call out, lama nigara. A person who's Dovak HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to call out Mimamakim, is able to call out with a Lev Nishbor, is able to say Anan Ba'ina L'Nevi Kadam Malka, is able to say Lama Nigara, when they realize everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I will call out Hashem because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that can answer us. You find in Parshas Bereishis that when the Klala was given to the Nachash, what was the Klala given to the Nachash? What was the klal? What was the curse given to the Nachash? Afar toichal kol yimei chayecha. All the days of your life, you're going to have to go ahead and eat dust. Now the shayla that's brought down, but dust is precisely the food that a Nachash lives off. So why is that a klal and a curse telling the Nachash, afar toichal kol yimei chayecha, you'll be able to have dust, which is its sustenance, that is its meal, provided for you three times a day? You're essentially telling the Nachash that your klala is, you'll have all the food that you always need. Why is that a curse? And of course, we know the very well-known answer. When something is provided for all the time, like the Nachash is being told, Afar Teichel Kol Yimei Chayecha, that means you never need to turn to Hashem. You never need to ask. You never need to develop and cultivate Karbon, Karav, a closer relationship, and that is indeed a klala. It's as if the Nachash is being told, I want to have nothing to do with you. I want to have absolutely nothing to do with you. You go your way, I'll go my way. There's no relationship, there's no cultivating, there's no developing. I want to have nothing to do with you. I ask you, could there be a bigger curse? Having the ability to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam, having the emuna and the bitachon that shows a person does call out lama nigara, that means you're developing a relationship. You're cultivating a relationship with your Creator. And how does one do that? Like we said by Pesach Sheni, karbon, karav, you bring a karbon that gets you closer. When a person has the emuna and bitachon like the fish represents, it sometimes happens out of nowhere. We know, as we've said on many occasions, that we learn emuna from a deer. Chazal tell us one explanation is for the word tzvi, which is deer. Tzadi beis yud stands for the ultimate pasuk of emuna. Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. In fact, the gematria of the word tzvi is 102. The gematria of the word emuna is 102. Because one learns emuna from a tzvi. And so they're both 102. And there are many explanations how a person learns out that emuna from a tzvi. But perhaps one explanation might be that if one takes a look, granted here in South Florida, we're not so familiar with seeing deer in our backyard. They have that up north. And like you who are joining me, you thought I'd go through a whole shiur without saying, you who are joining me, I can't say in the Heichel for tonight, we're giving in the Gan, but those in the Gan, and those who are listening live on the phone, and those who will hear the recording once it's sent out, maybe some of you have the ability to see deer. Here in South Florida, we don't see deer. But where they do have the ability to see a deer, very often you'll see that before the deer will spring so gracefully forward, it first takes a step back, and it turns back as well. Sometimes when a person perceives something as a step back, it's really to spring forward. Sometimes that step back, a person thinks, what's going on? But it's really just to spring them forward. That's the concept of a tzvi, and that's the idea of emuna. That step back, the loma nigara, is what brings us to have even stronger emuna bitachon. So clearly in Parshas Bahar, we see so strongly the very foundation of Shemitah, the seven cycles of Yovel, is the idea that you are being told, you think you're being tested, you're going to stop working and not do anything in year number seven. You'll see you'll have for year number six and year number seven and year number eight. A person who's a maimon, who has that emunah bitachon, uses it as an opportunity to develop a closer relationship with their Creator. And finally, that brings us to Matzah Shabbos on Sunday, which is Lag BaOmer. To see this concept, Lag BaOmer, is very easy. I mentioned to you a number of moments ago that my father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, explained Shir Hamalois Mimamakim. Which one goes the highest? The one that's from the depths. If you take a look, the Pasuk says about the Emayrim that they were captured. Take a look at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Yaakov Avinu says, "Becharbi ubekashti." Unkla says it refers to two types of tefillah, two types of prayer. One is like a sword, and one is a bow and arrow. How do you understand tefillah is like a bow and an arrow? And of course, I speak about bow and arrow. You speak about Lag BaOmer, and the next thing you think of, right when you think of bonfire, you think of a bow and arrow. Oh, we're speaking about archery, so you should feel comfortable. A bow and arrow. My father, that's how I would say, you know why tefillah is a bow and an arrow? Because if you watch here in the Gan, as I show with my hands, when a person takes a bow and arrow, how does a person make it that the arrow goes further than the other person? The more a person pulls it back, and the further back, and the further back, and the further back, and more, and further back, the further back that you pull it, the further it's eventually going to propel and go. And then my father comments that when you pull it back, as you watch with my hands right now, I'm pulling it back, I'm pulling it closer to where? Closer to my heart, and closer to my heart, and closer to my heart, and more, and even closer to my heart. That's the shot that tefillah is considered kashi, like a bow and arrow. The more you put in, and the more you pull it back to your heart, me mamakim, that's the one that will go highest. Just like it is physically with a bow and arrow. The more you pull it further back and further back and further back, the more it will travel, not 100 yards, but 150 or 200 yards. Similarly, when it comes to tefillah, which is considered bekashti, the further back and back and back you pull it towards your heart, that's the lev nishbar, that's the mamamakim, that's the lamanigara, that's the nanbeinu nevi kadamalka. And where does it end up? Shir hamalos, to the highest possible places, like the mayim hatachtayim were able to reach. Like we began Pesach Sheni, I remind you again, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to look, these halachos were non-existent. These halachos were created because of a call of Lama Nigara. And that perhaps is why when it comes to Lag BaOmer, there's so much stress given to a bow and arrow. Not only for the other symbolism of a bow and arrow, but a bow and arrow, as I told you a moment ago, Becharbi ubekashti. Keshis over here is a type of tefillah. The Meshech Chochma speaks about it. Keshis here is a type of tefillah. Which type of tefillah? The one that the more I pull back to my heart, the higher it's going to go ahead and go. And we see that in Lag BaOmer. To start concluding the shir, there's a pshat that mamish ties the entire shir together. Pesach Sheni with Bahar, with Lag BaOmer, from the Ar Gedalia. Gedalia Shor speaks out generally the simcha of a Lag BaOmer is literally a palpable simcha. There are universal feelings, wherever you might be, of understanding Lag BaOmer with such a deep sense of simcha and inner joy and outer joy. There are many explanations given. What is it that causes these deep feelings of simcha, as we said a moment ago, the pnimius of the universal joy on Lag BaOmer? Reb Gedalia Shor, Zecher Tzadik Kosher Livracha, tells us, we know that the 24,000 Talmidim during this horrific period, the entire yeshiva Rabbi Akiva, all of these Talmidim died. Now, we cannot even fathom, although every year we say 24,000 Talmidim died, we don't even fathom what that means. You take the greatest, greatest person and multiply it by 24,000, and all the 24,000 perished, they died, is something that's unfathomable to us. Now let's analyze for the next 2 minutes Rabbi Akiva's reaction. You would tell me that it would seem human nature would be, I think we would say in English, a person should throw in the towel. A person could think about yiyush, or a person could think about quitting. I just lost the entire yeshiva. I just lost 24,000 Talmidim. It would seem natural and human nature should be to give up, to stop, to move on, whatever it might have been. Obviously, a person takes a look with Rabbi Akiva after all that he lost, and instead of bemoaning the terrible loss, something that cannot be calculated, he reacted very differently. What did Rabbi Akiva do? He took 5 Talmidim. He took Rabbi Meir. One of the 5 we know is, of course, the Tana Lokoi that we speak about on Lag BaOmer, who wrote the Zohar Rashbi, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And he started teaching again with 5 Talmidim. All of the Torah that we have today, everything that we've had all of these years, throughout the centuries, throughout the decades, throughout the entire universe, the entirety of the Torah that we have today comes from the 5 students that Rabbi Akiva transmitted the Torah to after having lost everything. That means Lag BaOmer is the lesson of perseverance. Lag BaOmer is the lesson of not becoming discouraged. Lag BaOmer is the lesson of perseverance, of Olam HaNigar, I want a second chance, I want to try again, I want to start again. And that, says the Or Gedalia, is what creates the universal joy of Lag BaOmer. It's a very deep shot. Having the belief. A person might think that they had a setback, there was a failure, and become discouraged. Instead of becoming discouraged, they remember Rabbi Akiva and they remember Lag BaOmer. 24,000 Talmidim, something that we can't calculate, something we couldn't possibly fathom. And instead of stopping and becoming discouraged, he went with 5 Talmidim. He started again, and everything in the Torah that we have today stems from those 5 Talmidim. In fact, I once heard the Jibo Dayan of Montreal, Rav Katz, Zoller Gesund and Starkzain, say so powerfully. One of the 5 Talmidim I told you a moment ago was Rabbi Meir. If you look throughout Shas, very often Rabbi Meir is chayush for the miut. He is chayush and he considers the miut the minority of something. And you might wonder, why does Rabbi Meir always go with the miut? Why does he always go with the minority? Rabbi Meir would say, because I know! I was 1 of 5. I was the miut. I was 1 of 5 after 24,000 Talmidim perished. They all died. The whole yeshiva was lost. And 5 Talmidim were taught by Rabbi Akiva, and everything we have is through those 5. Rabbi Meir throughout Shas is chayish for the miut because he was 1 of the 5 of the miut. That's the lesson of Lag BaOmer. That says the Or Gedalia explains why there's such a literally palpable joy, a universal simcha, a pnimius dika sensation of Shir HaMaos and Mamakim on Lag BaOmer, because it's the understanding of perseverance. It's the lesson of perseverance. Rabbi Akiva, he continued with the 5, and everything we have today is from those five Talmidim. And that completes the three of Pesach Sheni, Nahar, and Lag BaOmer. We end the way we began. Only someone who has the emun and bitachon of Bahar and exhibits the perseverance of Lag BaOmer, that which is inherent in Lag BaOmer, is able to call out the Lama Nigara of Pesach Sheni. What gives a person the ability to call out Lama Nigara? We want a second chance. Why should we be diminished? Why should we lose out? Lama Nigara is a call of Lag BaOmer. Lama Nigara is a call of perseverance. Lama Nigara is based on the Amun and Bitachon of Parshas Bahar. We should be zaycha to have that perseverance. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations of spiritually tomei lenefesh or bederech rechayka. We did something that we shouldn't. We find ourselves on a path that we're not familiar with, and we may have brought it about ourselves. But with proper emun and bitachon, with realizing the power of perseverance. I remember once reading that years ago when somebody for their army was picking the finest soldiers, so somebody was recording all those who stayed on the horse, and he recorded this one stayed on for 2 minutes, but the next one stayed on for 4 minutes, the next one stayed on for 8 minutes, and he brought the reports back to the king, thinking naturally the king was going to go ahead and pick and choose for his army the latter, the ones who stayed on 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, not the ones who fell off after one or two. They seemed to be useless. And much to his surprise, the king chose very systematically. This one stayed on a minute, and this one stayed on a minute and a half, and 2 minutes, but not the others. And when the fellow questioned the king, why is he doing that? The king answered, you think I'm looking to see who stayed on the longest? That's not the barometer and test that I use. I want to see those that fell off, how quickly did they get back on? That's what interests me for my army. They fell off, but they got right back on. Those are the ones that I want, because that's perseverance. That's Lag BaOmer. That's Emun and Bitachon. That's a call of Lama Nigara. May we be zaycha with our perseverance to call out, although at times, as I said, we are Tamei Lenefesh or Bederech HaChayka, let us call out Lama Nigara. We want that second chance. We want the opportunity. We don't want to be diminished. And as the Ribbono Shelem created the halachos of Pesach Sheni to bring about the Karbon Karov getting closer, may we be zaycha Karbon Karov to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to be able to serve him properly.